Did you know what you were getting into when you had a child? Would you have felt that you were big enough to do it? Of course not. And that's the way it is with a good many things that turn out to be the will of God for us.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about continuing a pregnancy. I was absolutely shocked when a young woman told me that when she went into the doctor's office to learn whether or not she was pregnant, his first question was, "Do you want to continue this pregnancy?" My friend was absolutely thrilled that she was pregnant, but she discovered in questioning the doctor that this is a routine question which is asked of every patient. Do you want to continue this pregnancy? Someone sent me an article from the New York Times, which I was amazed to see in a periodical like that, but I applaud everything this young woman says. It starts with this statement: "This child I carry, like my other two, is wanted, healthy or not." She tells us that she's 36 years old, expecting a baby, and soon after the congratulations and "was it an accident?", her friends asked whether or not she was having amniocentesis, the assumption being that she was. Amniocentesis, for those who might not be familiar with the term, is a method of examining the amniotic fluid in the mother's womb in such a way as to be able to tell if certain diseases are present. It can detect certain kinds of abnormalities. And if those abnormalities are detected, then the general assumption is that the woman will want to have an abortion. This lady, whose name was Anna Quindlen, says, "The reality is that I am not having amnio. I've had a good long time to think about it, knowing since the birth of my second that I wanted more children and that I would slip into the danger zone over the age of 35 before I became pregnant again. My husband and I have had some good long talks about it, about how much stress and disappointment our family could stand, about when life begins and under what circumstances it should be ended. While some people use amniocentesis to prepare for bad news, for most it is an issue of abortion. You have the test so that you can find out if the child will be impaired, and if it will, you can, well, what I'm supposed to write here is terminate the pregnancy. But that's not what I feel. If I were talking about doing something as clinical as terminating something as disembodied as a pregnancy, I wouldn't have a problem." That's the end of the quotation from Anna Quindlen's article in the New York Times. And I'm delighted to know that there is a woman who has the courage to speak about terms like terminating and pregnancy. She says that's not what she's thinking about. She is carrying a child. It's not merely a pregnancy. And you don't terminate a child. She says, "Perhaps if this child were unwanted, I could think of it as a fetus. But my children, three of them now, have all been wanted. They were babies from the moment I knew they were coming. I do not know what it would take for me to stop their lives." And just this morning, I was listening to TV on the discussion about whether or not there might be the overturning of the Roe versus Wade decision back in 1973, which legalized abortion. And of course, I and thousands of others are praying that there may be a change in those laws. The article goes on to say that she hasn't a clue what she and her husband could handle. In other words, if the process of amniocentesis should reveal abnormalities in the child that she's carrying, I haven't a clue what I could handle. I do know that I would have blighted my life if I had turned away from all the things I thought I was not big enough to do. Isn't that a great point for us mothers to ponder? Did you know what you were getting into when you had a child? Could you possibly imagine all that it was going to entail? Would you have felt that you were big enough to do it? Of course not. And that's the way it is with a good many things that turn out to be the will of God for us. We're not big enough. We can't handle it by ourselves. But that's what God is there for. He's waiting for us to acknowledge our need of Him. And although this woman does not get into anything that reveals as to whether or not she's a Christian, she's an intelligent and honest enough woman to recognize that she would blight her life if she turned away from all the things that she thought she was not big enough to do. And she ends by this paragraph: "The first two children have taught us that life is nothing but hard questions, and that we answer them as best we can. In some sense, the future is already written. This child is already something, boy, girl, healthy, ill. Perhaps if you are a devotee of nature over nurture, even good or bad. I do not know yet. I know only one thing now. This child is ours, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health." And I had a letter from friends of ours who had just received the word that the wife is pregnant with a child who has been shown to have spina bifida through the process of amniocentesis. Well, that news would be hard for anybody to take. It was particularly hard for this couple to take because they already have a child suffering from spina bifida. And so I wrote this letter to them. "How often the two of you have been in my thoughts and prayers since we heard the news of the tiny child that Kathy is now carrying. God has trusted you with a great trust, and I do not doubt He will carry you through the deep waters through which He calls you to go, and through the fiery furnace. In the words of the hymn, 'The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine.' Do we have to go for the gold, you may be asking, and of course, you know the answer. Yes. It will be worth it all, and so far more than worth it, that it is quite unimaginable now. Will there be enough grace, enough strength, enough wisdom available for you as father and mother of two handicapped children? You know the source. He has not moved from where he's been all along, with Joseph in his pit, Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach and his friends in the furnace, John the Baptist in prison, Paul in his shipwrecks, Christ on his cross, and you in this dark place. Samuel Rutherford has always said so much better what I need to say, so let me give you his words to a woman in deep sorrow, back in 1634. The Lord hath pierced the vessel. It will be known whether there be in it wine or water. Let your faith and patience be seen, that it may be known your only beloved, first and last, hath been Christ." And Rutherford goes on to say, "And I dare say God's hammering of you from your youth is only to make you a fair carved stone in the high upper temple of the New Jerusalem. Your Lord never thought this world's painted glory a gift worthy of you, and therefore would not bestow it on you, because he is to propine, which means to hold out a gift to you, with a better portion." And so I wrote to these friends of mine, who were not for a second considering abortion, but simply trying to prepare themselves for a second spina bifida child. I wrote these words, hoping that Rutherford's words and the words from the old hymn, "The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine," would be a help to them. And I think again of the mystery of charity. When we talk about love, we're not talking about that soupy, silly sentiment that the movies are about. We're talking about that eternal love which comes only from God, the kind which is stronger than death, the kind that many waters cannot quench, and the kind of love that a mother has for a child or a father has for his child is love which gives itself, love which sacrifices, love which is willing to be inconvenienced. Maybe that's the best way for us to put it. Maybe we need to think about the fact that children are, of course, an inconvenience. Any kind of love is an inconvenience because it takes time, doesn't it? It makes many demands on us. But the love which is willing to be inconvenienced, that's perhaps the simplest statement. And then, of course, it takes us into much deeper waters than mere inconveniences. But the measure of our maturity is the measure of our self-giving. And the measure of our self-giving is the measure of our fulfillment. How much will you allow God to do in and through you? If I'm speaking to anyone today who is considering terminating a pregnancy, I would earnestly ask you, in the name of Jesus, reconsider. Receive this child in His name. Even if you're not married, give birth to that child. Then ask God to give you wisdom about whether to keep that child, or perhaps to turn it over to a Christian center that will help you find a couple who will adopt it, a Christian couple who can give that child a home. Are you willing to be inconvenienced for the sake of a child?
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.